Tim, you're such a versatile guy, and we're very blessed to have you, and we thank you for leading us and worship through song today and all that you're doing behind the scenes and all that you're doing through our youth ministry. But thank you today for leading us as a church, as we corporately gather together while Brother Doyle's out with family for today. Speaking of family, we have some people in our family that tomorrow's a special day for them. That's Brother Larry and Miss Linda. And our church rejoices with you guys. And they have opened up the reception tomorrow to the whole church family. Anybody wants to come by between 4 and 6 or 6:30 and 4 and 6:30, there will be a reception in here. Y'all come on by and congratulate them and let them know how much you love and appreciate them. That'll be tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. Today I want to share with you some breaking news about a breakthrough. A breakthrough that has happened in many people's lives and hopefully can happen in your life as well. But here's the thing. If you want that breakthrough, you're going to have to receive Jesus. I'm just going to be upfront with you about it today and just tell you what it's all about. If you want to really have a breakthrough in your life and you really want your situation to get better, then you're going to either have to get Jesus or get closer to Him, because He's the only one that can help or do anything for anybody. Thank y'all so much. It's a little warmer up here. But let me tell you the sad and hard truth, and it might be the sad and hard truth for you today as well, that some people, they want their situation to get better. They want things to change, but they don't want Jesus. They don't want Jesus to do it. They don't want God in their life. They don't want God telling them what to do or how to live or this or that. So in other words, they want things to change, but they don't want things to change. Doesn't make sense, does it? But there are also other people that, you know, they want the appearance of godliness, but inwardly they just want to stay just as foul and unclean as they are forever. They just want to be filled with worldliness, even though they want people to think that they're high and mighty and holy and righteous in every way. You've met some of those people. They seem to be so caring and so interested in your life and your well-being, especially outwardly, but inwardly they're a selfish Grinch. You know what I'm talking about. People who are self-absorbed. But let me tell you this. If you are self-absorbed, ironically, it will lead to your end and destruction. Being focused on me, me, me all the time does not benefit me anytime. That's the truth. Today's passage of Scripture, we're going to see just how fake a ruler of the world can really be, how he can lie and be deceptive. But let me tell you this morning, guys. You cannot pull one over on God, ever. God's never been mocked. He's never been fooled. He knows the condition of our hearts. No matter what we tell people, what mask we wear, what we might pretend. Read with me. Let's just read the first 12 verses of chapter 2 from the Gospel of Matthew. See what it says. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Can we pray together this morning? Father, This is your word, and we want to see how it impacts our lives today. So speak to us, God, ever so clearly that we might hear what it is that you want to say to us. And Lord, convict us of our sins today. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lead us into being disciple makers that will make disciples who make disciples. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something about Jesus maybe you didn't realize today, but Christ is troubling. He's problematic. Did you know that Jesus is a problem for many? In fact, the way the Bible puts it, Jesus is a problem for you and for me. Now, He's also the solution, so don't get too upset or too frazzled, but I'll explain to you what I'm telling you from the text today. Jesus Christ is troubling to those who are too comfortable with the way things are in the world. Christ is troubling to those who are in love with the status quo, the ones who are happy with the way the world is. He's troubling to the ones who are afraid of letting go and walking and living and receiving Him by faith. He's troubling to the ones who are afraid of losing authority or power. You know, Herod was such a man as I'm talking about. Herod was the kind of guy that the news of Christ was troubling to him. You see, he was the kind of guy that was known for killing everyone around him simply because he was afraid of losing power, authority that had been given to him. Did you know that he had been given the title by the Roman government? He was called, Herod was, the King of the Jews. That's what they called him. That was the man-made title that was given to him. So of course when he hears, hey, wait a minute, there's a baby that's been born, and they're saying that this baby's been prophesied about, and that this child is going to be the King of the Jews, of course that's troubling to him because it threatens his position of power. Herod was a very tough guy, a very evil man, if you will. He'd killed so many people. Did you know he killed his brother-in-law? He killed his mother-in-law. He killed his wife and countless others he would kill. And if you read what the Bible says, he was so threatened by this child born King of the Jews that he decided he'd kill all the babies around that age. He thought, well, I don't know which one it is, so I'm just going to blanket it and we're going to have them all put to death. What kind of evil person would issue a decree like that? The kind of person that the presence of the Christ is troubling to them. They'll do anything they can to stay in control. You know, Christianity is under attack today in ways that in America it never has been before. And you want to know why? Because Christ is troubling to those who are unbelievers. You see, everybody wants the Christian to leave them alone and let them do life their way, but nobody will leave the Christian alone and let them do life the way that God has told us to do. It's a double standard. It's hypocritical. And nobody seems to understand it the way that we do. But why all this fuss? Because some prophecy was fulfilled? Listen, if you don't believe it, then why are you so threatened by it? Amen? But it's happening and it's in our world today. Christ is troubling. I can prove it to you. In the text, it tells us that if you see what his reaction was, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Doesn't just mean that it was an inconvenience. The word troubled in the Greek means that he was stirred up. He was shaken. He became a little bit anxious about the situation. Because here's Herod, who's done everything that he's had to do in order to get this position, and does everything that he possibly can within his control to keep this position, and he has no rightful claim to this position other than the fact that he can fend it off and he can stay at the top of the hill and fight others and keep them below. As long as he can keep everyone else underfoot, he's good. But here comes this child and he's so troubled. He's so upset. I mean, we're talking about just a child. But this child has legitimate claim to his title. Let me tell you something, folks. Christ can be troubling to you today when you realize, you know what, I'm not supposed to be Lord of my life. Jesus is supposed to be Lord of my life. And all of a sudden we start to put walls up. And we start to resist God. And we say, God, you know what, God? I want all the blessings that you have, but I don't want any of the accountability. God, I want your Spirit when I want it, but not when it's convicting me of my sins. I want to be in charge. And so in a sense, Christ is still troubling to us. But you see, it's for our good. It's for our good that He's troubling, because He's protecting us. You learn a lot from your kids. I've learned a lot from Jeremiah. He's taught me more than I think I'll ever teach him. One day, maybe, if God so decides, I'll be grandpa and I'll watch him learn the things I learned. Sometimes he wants things that he shouldn't want. And me being in the room watching him is troubling to him. And it stirs him up. And he's cute and adorable, and he does what every kid does, and does exactly what I did when I was his age. But I begin to learn what it is like to be a child of God and to want things that God doesn't want me to have. And I don't realize the danger, the difficulty, or what I'm asking, or what I'm upset with God about. But you know what? He understands more than I ever will. I just have to trust Him. You know what Herod wasn't going to do? Herod was not going to trust Him. Herod was troubled inwardly, even outwardly. Let me tell you about Herod, and a little bit about him might make you a little bit scared, but different historians have called him different things. Josephus called him barbaric. Another writer said that he was the malevolent maniac. What's worse than someone having all power? Someone having all power and being crazy. I wouldn't want to live in his kingdom, would you? When I would hear that there was another king that had come in, I'd be excited. Somebody said of him that you were safer being his sow than being his son, because he might think that his heir is going to rise up and take his throne from him. He'd been called a lot of things. He's had people put to death in the most difficult and harsh ways. His wife, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, two sons, hundreds of others. He was a killer. And all this he did for himself. And then Christ, this child, comes on the scene and it threatens everything. To a man like Herod, Jesus is troubling because it means judgment, it means justice, it means that things are going to change. A lot of people say that, you know what, I want my life to be better. But then when you offer them Jesus, they say, I want my life to be better, but I don't want it to include Jesus. It doesn't work that way, folks. Then we see the wise men, they come into the scene, and Herod finds out about it. It's supposed to be good news that the Christ child has been born. But it's not good news, seemingly, to the ones who are too in love with the status quo in the world. They close their ears, their eyes are blinded to the truth. They don't want to hear it, they don't want to receive it, they want nothing to do with it. And you know those people. You go to work with them and you try to testify to them and you try to witness about who Christ is, and they say, you know what, I don't want to talk any talk about religion or politics. You ever heard somebody tell you that? Ain't that the most foolish thing you ever heard? Don't tell me anything about religion or politics. We talk about anything but that. So that's your politic, I guess. And you feel deeply religious about it. I've had a lot of people tell me that, and it's people that are just closing their eyes, closing their ears. Why? You can tell them anything, but you start to talk about Jesus. Listen, folks, you want to clear an airport, you say bomb. People will scatter. You want to clear a grocery line, just say Jesus. They'll run even faster. But seriously, Christ is troubling to people because they'd rather hide their head under the covers than face reality and come to terms with who they really are. Tarasso, that's what it means. That's what it says, to put into motion. He was put into motion. He was troubled. He was physically agitated. He was so upset that he decided to take action. And so he gets these wise men together and he wants to start to talk to them. But they respond to him in a totally different way. In a totally different way. You know what? One of the reasons that people respond to Jesus with this fear, with this shaking, with this anxiety, with this anger that they're stirred up, one of the reasons is because the Bible says that one day Christ is coming again and He's going to be riding on a pale horse. And you know what the Bible says? That the Word of God is going to be coming out of His mouth. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to judge the entire world. and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen, church? For the church, it's good news. To everybody else, it seems to be troubling. Secondly, today we see that Christ, He's not only troubling, but He's worthy of worship. Why are people so troubled? One of the reasons is because they're in awe of Him. He's magnificent to behold. He's fearsome and worthy to be in awe and reverence of. He's worthy of worship. It's 2 or 3 years later, and Herod the Great, the king of the Jews, is slowly dying. Josephus tells us that his disease was really bad. His body was racked with convulsions. His breath was very bad because of the condition he was facing. His skin was covered with sores. He was really and truly losing his mind. But he's still the king, still in charge. One day word comes to him in Jerusalem that these visitors have come in from the east. Strange, different, new people in town. And they've got a strange new question. We want to see the king. Herod? No, not Herod. The one that's been prophesied about. We followed a star. There was no star for Herod. He has no claim to these things. He has no people seeking him out from a distant land. The scriptures tell us that not only was he troubled, but all Jerusalem was troubled with him. I think people started to get afraid. What's he going to do now? And for good reason. Because he did do bad things to Jerusalem in light of this. His reaction was terrible. But the wise men, what about them? What did they want to do? They wanted to know, where's this one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him. Now there are a lot of questions we could ask. A lot of questions we could ask about the wise men. People want to know. They say, who exactly are the wise men? Let me tell you the truth. You ready? I don't know. I do not know everything about the wise men. I have my suspicions on some things. Maybe we can chat later about that. But here's why I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us in great detail. But guys, the story's not about the wise men anyways. Amen? So it's just not a detail that's necessary for us. Well, where exactly did they come from, Brother Adam? Well, I can tell you what the Bible says. They came from the east. That's all I know. I'm just telling you what I know because this is what the Bible tells us. That's all I can share with you today. I don't know all the details. What about this star and how did they know about it? Guys, I don't know. But the Bible says that they followed a star. God had miraculously revealed this to them. I don't know. But they followed this star. This is where it led them. And guess what? Must have been God leading them because they led them straight to Jesus. Amen? And here's another thing we got to think about. It doesn't always matter how people come to Jesus as long as they come to Jesus, okay? All the details and we got to make sure of this and make sure of that. No, folks. If people are coming to Christ, we ought to be excited about that. If the church up the street does it just a little bit different or the church down this way does it a little bit different, as long as they're giving the true gospel and only teaching what the Bible teaches, then glory be to God. His work is being accomplished in our midst. Amen? Amen? All right, we don't get jealous. We just want to get on board and get people to Jesus. You know, Herod didn't know a whole lot about him either, so he called them in. And I like what this translation, how it says, he summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He wanted to know. He ascertained from them. That means he's being crafty. He's being subtle. He's doing this in secret. You know who else was subtle? Anybody know? Think back, well, who was it? Satan. Absolutely. Very subtle. Doesn't want to give on. Wants to outwardly appear one way while inwardly masking his true intentions. And that's what people are doing even today. They're infiltrating. They're just trying to pretend to be nice so they can get into your life and have influence over you. But there's only ever been one who's been truly honest from the start. That's our great God. That's Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. He came to be who He was promised to be. He did everything He said He was going to do. And He's coming again in like fashion to fulfill everything, outwardly and inwardly, to be exactly who He's promised to be. Now, Herod, let's not beat up on him too much because, guys, that's us sometimes. Sometimes we go through the motions. Sometimes we want people to think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, while inwardly, now we may not consider ourselves to be as evil as He is, but the truth of the matter is this: until we're cleansed by Christ, we're equally as guilty as Herod is. That's a tough reality today. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We were all perishing. Amen? So at one time, the preaching of the cross was foolishness even unto us. So here's the difference between you and me and Herod and the wise men and all the other people in the world. Here's where it separated, the dividing line. Herod was troubled and stayed troubled. Okay? The wise men were stirred about, but it was to go and seek Him out to truly worship Him. They were stirred up. They were agitated. They were moved. They were convinced. They wanted to go and discover and find out. And guys, it's all about a decision. Here's Jesus. What are you going to do with Him? Are you going to reject Him or are you going to receive Him? Now the wise men, they saw fit to worship Him. They recognized that the King of the Jews is worthy to be worshipped. Herod hatched this clever plot, though. I'm going to trick those wise men, and I think he did. I think he was convincing. I think he was as hospitable as he could be. I think he knew how to entertain kings or wise men or magi or, you know, important people from far away, and he had all his people involved in it. He did everything he was supposed to do to utterly and totally convince them, but he never got one over on God. Never. So these wise men, there they go. Herod's given us free rein. We can travel in his region, no problem. I mean, for all I know, they had a great entourage. Would have been difficult to hide anyways. Here's the plot. He's going to send them out, go find. He said, make a careful search for the child. When you find him, you come back and tell me so I can worship him as well. But Herod was lying. Lying. Jesus is worthy of worship. But Herod had absolutely no intention of doing anything like that. What do you think Herod wanted to do to this babe, to this child? Kill him. Eliminate him as a threat to the status quo, to his position of power. I don't think that the wise men knew, and that's why it was revealed to them in a dream, and they went a different way. The star miraculously reappeared, led them to the exact location. They found the child, they bowed down, they worshiped him, they offered him gifts from their treasures. Gold. Why gold? Because he's a king, and that is a gift that kings deserve. Frankincense. Why frankincense? Because that's a gift that represents Christ's deity. And why myrrh? Well, Jesus was born that he might die for us. These wise men, they understood the truth about Jesus. How they knew, I can't tell you. All the details, I don't know, but they got it. You could tell by the way that they worshiped Him. They fell before Him. They did it with joy. Thirdly today, and this right here, I really want you to get it. Christ is unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. Just before these wise men, these magi step off, the stage there and leave and make their departure and go off into history, probably for us to know no more about them ever than we do right here. We're told one last thing in verse 12. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Herod had done, I'm sure of it, everything right to try to stop this. But see, God had already prophesied that these things would be fulfilled. And what happens is, Herod tries to stop God's will from being accomplished. And God uses Herod to accomplish what He promised already. What happens is, there becomes this threat, and there becomes this revelation from God to Joseph, to Mary, hey, it's time for y'all to leave and move and go somewhere else. Why? Because destruction's coming. Herod's trying to stop the prophecies from being fulfilled, but God instead turns that and uses it as a sign that that this is the Christ child. And he's unstoppable. Unstoppable. Herod turns out, instead of fooling others, to actually himself be the fool. They'd gone, left. The child's gone, has left. His plan completely and totally backfired. He thought that he'd have the Magi do the dirty work, but God thought otherwise. You know, I've often questioned, I said, I wonder why Herod didn't just load up and go with them. Just find the child right there in person. But I'm going to tell you this. I think Herod was a coward. I think he was afraid to be in the presence of the Christ child. And I'll also tell you this. If Herod had have went, he'd have been forced to make a decision in person. Same reason why you can't get people to come to church. They know pastor's going to get up and preach the gospel, and they're going to have to make a decision. And a non-decision is still a decision. Amen? People are like that. I think Herod is very typical of anybody who's lost in sin sickness. They don't want the things of God. They don't want to honor God. It's me, me, me all the time. Not realizing that looking out for number one, so to speak, is never really looking out for number one at all. But we remember what the Scriptures say, that Christ is unstoppable. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the sun, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, I'll tell you what. Not only is Christ unstoppable that He's going to do everything He said He's going to do, but do you remember when Jesus was with the disciples and He began to ask some of them, He said to them, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And then in verse 18 He says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What elicited that response from Jesus? It was Peter's confession that Christ is the Son of God. And who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. But notice this. A lot of times we get it backwards. We think if we just confess Jesus as Lord, nothing shall overtake us. But Jesus is talking about His followers being on the offense instead of on the defense. He's talking about how if we'll confess Christ as Lord, we'll hang on to that one solid truth that nothing will stop the rock. Nothing will stop Christ from accomplishing His Father's will. He says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a term that's used in battle. Their gates won't hold. We'll make it through. Why? Because Christ is unstoppable. Guys, here's the thing. Herod did not get it, but I can promise you where he is today, he gets it now, loud and clear. And he knows that his indecision or his reaction was the wrong choice that he made. He knows now that Christ is unstoppable. Herod tried to stop him, but he couldn't. The religious leaders, I guess they just wanted to ignore it. They were happy with the status quo too. Let's just pretend it didn't happen, or let's just not see it, or let's not be interested in discovering the truth and let it go, whatever. But they couldn't ignore it. The wise men, they couldn't help but worship Him. But that leads us today to the point that we have to make a decision. What are we going to do with this Jesus of the Bible? The real Jesus, the true Jesus, what are we going to do? Are we going to answer Him with hostility like Herod did? I want to fight against Jesus. I don't want any part of it. Instead, I want to fight against it. That's a battle you won't win. You ask Jonah. God tried to get Jonah to go and deliver a message to some people, and Jonah resisted God, and God broke him. You ever heard the expression, you can do this the easy way or the hard way? God wants to get to you, He's going to get to you. Amen? And I've learned, I just might as well go ahead and go along with God's way. No need for Him to have to twist my arm. But people meet Christ with hostility. Don't do that today. Don't do that. Don't be angered. Don't be stirred up and troubled in such a fashion that you react, that you resist. Instead, if God begins to speak to your heart and He says, I want your heart, I want your life, I want to change you from the inside out, I want to cleanse you, don't put that guard up. Don't resist. Don't be fleshly. Let the Spirit of God have His way. Let Him draw you to Jesus that you might glorify the Father. You might not react with hostility. You might be sitting here and at this point in the message, you've clicked it and turned it off. You've said, you know what, that's great. I'm glad I'm here. Somebody invited me, whatever the case may be. But I really don't want to hear it. I'm just going to put that off till tomorrow. Yeah, that's what the religious leaders were trying to do. Let's just pretend this goes away. But ignoring it eventually turns into hostility. You're just trying to procrastinate or put it off. But if God's speaking to you now, then that means He wants you now. You can try to be indifferent. You can try to ignore it. You can try to say, I want to be impartial. I just want to stay neutral. When I get to heaven, I'll tell God, you know, I did this, I did that, but I didn't really cause any problems either. You know, so, but there's not going to be any negotiations in heaven. When He speaks, it's going to be the dividing line. But now He's calling us to Himself. Calling us. Don't be indifferent. Be open. Listen to the Lord. Receive Him. Finally today, you need to make the decision not only to receive Him, but to worship Him. Wise men, they still come to Jesus. Amen. You know what you are if you're not a wise man? You're a foolish one. Ain't but two options. And the foolish decision is to turn Him away. I want to invite you today. I want you to just search your own hearts, even in this moment, and just say, have I let God have complete control, or have I tried to resist in some ways? Have I let God have complete control of every aspect of my family and my life? Am I truly okay with God's will, or have I resisted and decided, you know what, God, I'm not ready yet for this, or this is not what I've decided is good for me? Don't be that way. Submit to God, because He has more in store for you than you could ever imagine for yourself. He's proven Himself time and time again to be trustworthy. That means worthy of trust. So place your confidence, your faith, your trust in Him in all things. It begins first by giving your life to Him, receiving the gospel message, becoming a follower of Christ. But it's every day for us as Christians. We're already believers. It's every day submitting to His Lordship, taking up our cross, even every day if we have to, and dying to self that we might live for Christ. And folks, it's made evident in our worship. Not in a fake worship. Hey, we put on the appearance of godliness, but inwardly, we're as vile as could be. No, true worship is an overflow of our hearts before God into every aspect of our lives. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You that You have made a way. Even, Lord, You decided to be born into the world and to live a sinless life, a life we could not live, to die a death we deserve to die, that, God, we might inherit riches in this life and the next, Lord, that we might have life and have it more abundantly when we did not deserve it. Lord, You offer peace. You offer joy. Lord, You offer hope to us. You teach us and show us love, and it all directs to You, Christ. Lord, we're thankful for that. Father, my prayer right now is that if there's someone here today and they've never experienced the freedom, the joy that is so freely offered in You, Lord, today would You speak to their hearts? Wouldn't it be that today would be the day of their salvation? Father, as a church, as a body today, unified, our prayer, it really ought to be this to You, God. Make us what You want us to be, who You want us to be. And Lord, let us be okay with it. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.